and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day, and our team's up 1-0 and a boo boo. But anyway, the Astros win game one of the wild card round, and they also re-signed their first baseman for a 1, maybe 2 year deal. Everything was great today. Joe Piagini, bye-bye, adios. And that's all that we're going to talk about on today's Locked On Astros podcast. So, Brett, where can they find you at?
I was wondering if you're going to forget about me with all the good news.
Always.
I'm like, well, okay, well, I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter. You can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always predicting the right score, always Stros.
Oh, God, I knew that was going to come up. I knew. Okay, so, Brett yesterday went ahead and made a proclamation, and he said that Greinke would pitch 7 shutout innings. I do remember that. That did not happen.
Yes.
But you did predict the score 4-1. And I know I think I said 5-4, but I thought the Astros bullpen was going to give up some runs because I just thought that Dusty Baker would kind of go with the whole, oh, like the Twins did, and just, oh, let's just throw out a different reliever,
Well,
but no, he did not. Best move Dusty Baker has made by far is bringing in Framber Valdez. And the best part of it, this was not something he thought about the last minute. This was all planned. And Framber Valdez knew this. Greinke was going to go 5 innings, and then they're going to bring in Framber Valdez. Why? Because this is 2017 all over again, minus the trash cans, because the Astros bullpen is not very good.
Yeah, so with Framber Valdez going in the way he did, there was instant reaction on Twitter and all over social media about, oh, you pulled Greinke too soon. You shouldn't have pulled him because Framber came in and he walked his first 2 batters. That was a little bit alarming, and I know people started freaking out. Oh, my God, here we go. We're pulling Greinke too soon. Everybody has flashbacks of Game 7 of the 2019 World Series, and you know, all hell's going to break loose. And that wasn't the case, dude. Framber looked good. This guy, Eric, over 5 innings, had 5 strikeouts. He did only have those 2 walks, and literally, he didn't give up a hit until the very end of the game. They went 6 innings, I believe, 5 or 6 innings without giving up a hit, because they didn't get a hit and from the 3rd inning on until, I believe, it was the 8th inning when they got a hit. And so Framber Valdez just came in and he shut the door. Now, with using him as much as you did, obviously he's not going to be available tomorrow. So we have Jose Urquidy coming in tomorrow.
So well, we don't know yet. Dusty Baker has not made that announcement yet, but it's probably going to be him. Unless I know that they did say that Lance McCullers could potentially pitch on short rest, but I think that it's going to be Jose Urquidy. And I think you're going to see the same formula we saw today with possibly Christian Javier coming in after 5 innings of Jose Urquidy, unless you see him doing something special tomorrow. But I think that we may see this piggyback system. It worked for them a little bit in the 2017 season. Granted, this is a special situation. This is only a 3-game series, but this is something that Dusty Baker's trying with. And a lot of these pitchers, Framber Valdez and Christian Javier, they have experienced the piggyback system in the minor leagues. So this is something that they're used to. So this is not something that's crazy. But Greinke was supposed to go 5 innings, but unfortunately, he just didn't have his control to start the game. He had a 30-pitch first inning. And so, but he really got out of a jam. I believe it was bases loaded and
yes, he did.
1 out or 2 outs or something like that. But he did retire. He did do his job. He just, they just decided to, hey, Zach, go put a mask on, go sit in stands and watch the rest of the game. So, because every time Valdez threw a pitch, it looked like they went right to Greinke to see what he was doing with his mask. And
so it looked to me whenever he was pitching, because they did have bases loaded, and luckily Snow grounded out to third and Bregman barely made that play.
Oh yeah, that was
going
close
to first base. It was an amazing play. You know, that line out.
They replayed it, didn't they? They replayed it, right?
Yes, they replayed it. But he got there. The ball got there like a half step right as his foot was over first. But before that, Rosario got up and he hit an absolute laser. And if that ball goes 2 or 3 feet to the right or left, that's runs right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That went right to Yuli, too.
Yeah, so we're talking about a potential inning where they could have had three runs. Even if they would have scored two more runs, the Astros would have probably won 4-3. Now, of course, they score those two runs. It changes the dynamics of, like, everything gets changed in the time continuum and whatever goes on.
Okay, but, Doc Brown.
Yeah, sorry, 1.21 gigawatts. Hey, a fun fact about that. Do you know why they called them gigawatts in Back to the Future?
No.
Do you know?
Not
because they were trying to say gigawatt and they didn't know how to say gigawatt, so they called it a gigawatt. There you go. That's right. Not only do I predict games correctly, but I also know random movie tracks from Back to the Future.
All right, but Michael Brantley was definitely nervous about that replay, and a lot of Astros players were, because that meant a run would have scored and that would have put them up. Was it 2-0 at the time? Or
yes, yeah.
So the Astros did what they needed to do, and they did something they haven't really done all season. They scored runs late, and this is not something that we got accustomed to. Yes, sometimes they would maybe in the ninth inning score one run, but you didn't see this offensive explosion a lot late in games. And I think that's because you face teams like the A's and the Dodgers and the Padres and other teams that have pretty good bullpens. And so the Astros, and it's something about the extra innings, and thank you, they're not doing that extra inning rule in the playoffs. So there are no runners on second base.
Well, I didn't even think about that. That's correct, because that's what I was nervous about. I was listening to the radio broadcast because I was on the way to the bank, and they were talking about, well, if we go to extra innings, we won't see a runner on second. I'm like, what is going on? I forgot about that. But, hey, another key thing that happened in the seventh, Maldonado thought that he was Usain Bolt and tried to go first to third on Springer single. Reddick scored, but he got thrown out at third. It's like Machete. We don't need you to get cut down as a runner. We need you to cut down runners on the base pass.
Right.
And I didn't see the actual tag in play. I heard it. I don't know how close it was, but it doesn't sound like it was a bang bang. It sounded like the ball got there before he did.
No, it did. And the outfielder let the run score. And I think Machete just was like, okay, they're going to throw home. They're going to try to get the runner out at home plate. But they threw it right to third base. And he was just basically waiting for him. And even the announcers were like, you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't need that. You just tied the game. You don't need that extra base. Stay there. Let Jose Altuve have a chance to bat with the runners on first and second and see what happens from there. You don't get your last out of the inning at third base. And so it just was a bad play. Props to the outfielder. I don't know who it was that made that great play. But, the Astros made some big mistakes, but not as bad as the defense of the Twins. Marwin Gonzalez, Josh Donaldson did not play today. He was still a little bit sore or wasn't quite ready to play, and they didn't want to risk it further injuring it. So they sat Josh Donaldson, and he's one of the best third basemen out there, not named Alex Rodriguez. What the heck am I saying? Alex Bregman.
Wow. Alex Presley and Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. all day of staff development was crazy while I was trying to watch the game and everything. And people actually wanted me to participate. And it was not one of those where I could just sit there and watch.
I hate those workshops when they want you to do something. I just want to listen sometimes. And so, Yeah, I get it.
We're doing this. I was listening to his problem and he was like, "You're not listening to me. You're watching the game." I'm like, "No, I can multitask. I'm really listening to what you're trying to say."
Oh, hey, remember when the Astros, I told you about that the famous Astros and Royals debacle where I was like driving to Academy to get the shirt to win the ALDS and the Royals came back and won.
Yeah.
In that training, the lady who was leading it was a Rangers fan. And she knew that we were all, there was like probably 30 teachers and 15 of us were watching the game. And she badmouthed the Astros the entire time. And there was like one teacher in there, the guy was a total jerk, was like this big Rangers fan. And they were just, it was like they were talking smack. And all of our reviews of this were like, I'm sure the topics were relevant, but we couldn't get past her bashing of Houston sports. And we were really turned off by the fact that she was unprofessional in her presentation while we were sitting there watching the game on our phone. So, yeah. Hey, I do want to mention this. In regards to the game. Did you notice Rosario when he grounded out? Did you notice that when he hit that ball to you?
He didn't even run.
He didn't even run. Yeah. That dude was still feeling it from the mistake he made, which allowed the runner to be safe, which loaded the bases, and eventually the Astros started scoring those runs. And that, to me, is kind of poor sportsmanship. Now, A, I've never been in the major leagues. B, I've never been in a pressure playoff situation or let my team down like that. But there's no reason, I think, for a guy to act like that at the end of a game. I don't know. What do you think?
Actually, just FYI, Rosario plays left field, and – Polanco plays shortstop. I heard what you, the announcer, saying that, but it was actually Polanco throwing the ball to the second baseman, Arauz, or however you say his name, and he got pulled off the bag and actually missed the ball, and that's how Correa was safe. And that
I misheard them. Either I misunderstood what they were saying, but I remember when Rosario hit the ball, he didn't run, and then they like dovetailed into, he made that play earlier.
How many of these, I don't know who the announcers were, but how many of these people really know the Twins? Like Rosario?
Well, I know, Polanco. but they're national ESPN guys. I can't remember who the guys are. One of them is a former baseball player, I think Hall of Famer. And I don't think it's Smoltz anyways, but I must have, let me just pull one out of Roger Clemens' hat. I must have misremembered, my bad.
All right. As long as you don't pull one out of Andy Rodriguez.
Andy Rodriguez. Oh, my God.
Andy Pettit. I don't know what my deal is today. Anyway, but speaking of making errors, the Twins just played bad baseball. We saw Marvin Gonzalez. The reason I brought Josh Donaldson up earlier, Josh Donaldson would have made that play. But Marvin Gonzalez let that get by him. And I think it was Maldonado who actually reached base at that time. So the Twins just played bad defense. And what did Alex Bregman do? It'd
be awesome if you said, what did Alex Cora do or something like that? That's what you would do tonight.
Anyway, but yeah, I'm a little off tonight. But anyway, just without his defense at third base, he made the balls that kind of went in midfield, and he was able to go get him and still throw the runners out and make some great plays. I think Alex Bregman's – I'm just going to say Bregman from now on. Bregman's plays really saved the Astros, while Marwin Gonzalez and Polanco, that kind of doomed the Twins. And then when the announcer started talking about, well, this is a former school teacher who came back to play baseball, I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to win.
Because
I don't know anything about that guy, but
I don't either, but he was throwing some lazy, lame curveballs. Like, he was looping them in there. It had great movement, but the movement was predictable. And I was really surprised because I think they should have left Duffy in a little bit longer. I know he threw 20 pitches and they want to keep him for next game. But Romo, I'm not as impressed with him as everybody else is. I know he's got a long track record, but he's an older pitcher. And you took a guy like Kenta Maeda, you only let him go five innings.
Want him to see him go through the batting order a third time. That's why. And in playoffs, unless you have a guy dealing like Lucas Giolito of the White Sox, who almost did another no-hitter. But if he's throwing like that, then you let them stay him. If it's game seven of the World Series and Zach Greinke's pitching great, you take him out then.
But he had he had a perfect game, and the guys on ESPN said Lucas Giolito is dealing a perfect game right now, and literally 5 minutes later, Lucas Giolito just lost his perfect game. He took a perfect game further than anybody's taken one since Don Larsen threw the perfect game.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of the media people have been throwing a lot of shade at the fans, saying, look, if you think that we can really control the outcome of a no-hitter, then y'all don't know.
No, I'm just saying.
We're not going to – let's not go there tonight. Let's not go there tonight. Where we should go tonight is how good Framber Valdez does.
I agree. He said
this kid is this is what Dusty Baker had to say. This kid's dealing and basically keeps the ball on the ground. That's why we stayed with him. You stayed with him because he hadn't allowed a hit to a pretty good team for four innings. That's why you stayed with him. And you knew that if you brought in Ryan Pressly, there would be a lot of people around just like, no, why did you take him out? Why did you take him out? But Dusty Baker has not won. He has not won his last five or six playoff series. So this is something that Dusty Baker is trying to work on. And so
he's got the worst winning percentage with any manager all time with 30 plus playoff games. He's like 22 and 32 or something like that. He's kind of trying to work against his own demons, as they say. You know, the shadows that keep following him in his past. And so the Astros can help him in his legacy, I think, by winning tomorrow. I mean, Eric, they need to win game two. They don't need to take it to a game three.
So I'm guessing if you watch Dexter, you're talking about the Dark Passenger.
I never watched Dexter, sorry. I just always see the picture of him with like plastic over his face, like he's dead or like he's a murderer or something.
Yeah, but I don't know if he wears plastic. Oh, I guess he.
No, it's on the cover. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so I was this many years old when I learned that Chaz McCormick made the postseason roster, and I know this is as a pinch runner. He's not going to really play at all. But he's going to be in there in case, let's say, Martin Maldonado is at second base and you're trying to get scored a winning run. You're going to pinch run for him, for Maldonado. You're going to put Chaz McCormick out there, and then you'll have either Garrett Stubbs or Dustin Gourneau come in as the catcher because they are carrying three catchers. And other than that, there weren't a lot of surprises on today's roster or the playoff roster for the wild card series, except for Chaz McCormick. And this is a guy we had on, I think I had him on Locked On Astros earlier this season, I believe so. But this is a guy that a lot of people have been rooting for. I believe he's 26 years old. Your guy, Josh Rojas, wished him good luck. But hopefully we don't have to see him because that means that we're either tied or we're desperate for a run. But I think that it's good that they did this, but he's not going to be a big, big, big piece to this series, but he could be the Derek Fisher of the 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we did have Derek Fisher. You know, I don't know if you saw Kyle Tucker's at bat where I believe it was this first or second pitch in his second at bat, he hit a ball that he
almost
foul
homer.
God, he crushed that ball, and he just came around too quick. I mean, his bat speed must be unbelievable.
We're zooming, and I'm like doing this, and everybody's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, like, no, yeah, definitely. And then, you know, shortly after that, Maldonado gets up and he fouls the ball and hits that left field like wall facade that's like just left of the foul pole. You know, those are two hits right there that if they would have stayed back a little bit, they could have taken those balls out, and we could be looking at a 6-1 game. You know, the Astros, they collected today. They collected a total of eight hits. They had eight hits and four runs. The Twins only had four hits and one run. And things went their way. I mean,
Zach Greinke didn't pitch a bad game. They just didn't.
No, he didn't. But
he tired himself out in the first inning, and Dusty Baker's like, you know what? He gave us all he can give us. Let's go with Framber Valdez. He's pitched really great the last two games, so let's just give it to our best pitcher, potentially MVP of this season, because of how good he's pitched.
Right, and as bad as he was in the first inning, he was still able to get out of the first inning. That's why he's Zach Greinke. Again, that's why you said yesterday when I was like, well, why would you go with Zach Greinke? Why wouldn't you go with Framber Valdez? Because he is your ace, because he's got the tread worn off the tires. He's got the experience.
He knows how to come out of the bullpen, yeah.
Exactly. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember in recent memory, the last time we had Keuchel on this team, when he would go in and he would give up a lot of runs early, and like the wheels would just fall off and he would never recover. And so thankfully we don't have that in Zach Greinke. But what kind of a motivator do you think this is, Eric? We lose the last few games of the regular season. We are down and out. Everybody's talking bad about us. Everybody's right. Got us on the chopping block. And they come in and win their first game. Like, how much of a shot in the arm is this? I mean, it's almost like the world's on fire now in a good way for the Astros.
Well, even the announcers during the game, I was watching the TV broadcast, and they said, this team, there's no excitement. Like, we saw how they were in the 2017 playoffs, the 2018 playoffs, 2019 playoffs. They were full of energy, full of just doing what the Astros do. And they don't really have that. But Dusty Baker said after the game, Club Astros was back, and they had the music up, and he was trying to talk to people, and he couldn't hear anybody because the music was so loud. So Dusty Baker said they know how to win. They take pride in what they do. They take pride in wearing Astros uniform, also take pride in having Houston, the city of Houston, behind them. They call it H-Town. I'm hearing them talk about H-Town all the time. Now I know what they mean. So he's even buying into the whole H-Town and do it for the H and everything like that. So what happened today was it was one of those games that could have gone the opposite way. I could have easily seen the Astros losing this game 1-0. If Marwin Gonzalez didn't miss that ball, then I think we'd be talking about a different game here, and we may have been talking about a 1-0 loss. And Framber Valdez could have come in and still pitched as well as he did, but it would have been worthless because Greinke gave up that first run.
So now the three things I said need to happen, two of them happened. Well, actually, I didn't really talk about the hitting. I mainly talked about the pitching. I said, you know, the starters need to go an extended amount of time. Well, he didn't go an extended amount of time, but Framber Valdez – pretty much pitched a complete game. I mean, not a complete game, but you know what I mean? Like, he basically came in there and he was the one who got credit for the game today because they took the lead on his watch. So he got the win.
That's not a complete game though.
No. What I'm saying is he completed the game, right? Okay. He didn't have a complete game. Complete game is 9 innings. We know
okay,
that.
Yeah, okay.
This isn't Locked On Rangers. I'm joking. I digress. Sorry, that was a fun rib at a fellow Locked On podcast.
La, 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 la.
I'm joking. No, seriously though. But this team right here, if they continue to get hits when they need to, now tomorrow they need to produce more than 8 hits tomorrow. I think they need to score more than 4 runs because I don't see how you hold this offense for the Twins 2 games in a row to 1 run. I may be wrong.
They've lost 17 straight games in the postseason.
In the playoffs. Oh, that's right.
In their head. It is in their head.
That's true.
Can say, well, all the Twins weren't on this team. Yeah. But a majority of the Twins were on the team last year. They know what it's like to have this history, recent history of not winning. And this is back to 2004. So this has been a while since they actually had a win in the postseason. So the ninth inning was just – it was so anti-Astros. I think the Yuli Gurriel kind of reached on a little bloop over second base, if I remember correctly, and then Carlos Correa basically had another bloop somewhere, and then everything else just kind of transpired. But something I didn't know, and I don't know if this is right, but I saw this from Brian McTaggart, but Altuve's walk, it was the first go-ahead walk in the ninth inning in postseason history. Not Astros history, postseason history. So, and Altuve after the game said, yeah, I'm just trying to get that run home. I don't care how it got home. I was just trying to get that run home. And we saw him be patient. And I know that he swung at a pitch very similar to that fourth, that ball four. So for him to kind of hold back and kind of trust his eye and trust the situation, that was really big. And I think this is going to be a big step with Altuve getting that go-ahead run. Driving in that go-ahead run, I think we see a different Jose Altuve. I think he kind of got a little chip off his shoulder. I know it's not a grand slam. A grand slam would have been a lot better. But this is a step in the right direction. And Alex Bregman, even though he didn't play great, I mean, he played great defense, he didn't really look great at the plate. And his bat still needs to come around. And but luckily we had Michael Brantley have a double early in the game when it looked like the Astros didn't have any hope. But Kenta Maeda looked pretty darn good for a little bit there. But the Astros just were patient and waited at him out. And then they got to the bullpen. And that's why I was so scared about going to the Astros bullpen, because I didn't want to bring in Brooks Raley. I'm sure he's great, but
Twins did what we were afraid of the Astros doing. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to that Altuve at bat, I'm sitting here looking at the play-by-play and pitch-by-pitch, and there's a certain website, I won't say who it is, but they actually had the last ball as a sinker. It was not a sinker. It was a fastball. It was a fastball up. And they talked about Romo's use of the fastball, and when he was, I guess, in a World Series where he struck out Miguel Cabrera, where he had thrown him slider, sinker, whatever. He had this combination, and he hadn't thrown a fastball for like two or three batters, and he threw a fastball to him, and he went down looking when the Giants ended up beating the Tigers in the World Series. And they said, he's going to come with a fastball here, and he did. He came with a high fastball, and that takes a lot of discipline. And where a lot of people say Altuve's broken, he's not broken. He is definitely going through some mental he's having to climb or jump mental hurdles, I think, week in and week out, where he kind of doubts himself. He doesn't know, like, he wants people to believe in him. He's a good guy. He's got all these variables. But to me, Altuve getting that walk is just as big as if Altuve laced a two-run double in that situation. Right. And those are the little things we need. That's what baseball is about. It's about the ball bouncing your way. It's about getting in the right scenarios. And it's about making the right guess to on a pitch. Because did you see Springer at one of his at-bats? He got a sinker thrown to him from Romo, and he watched it. It was down the middle, and he grimaced. Like, he was like, oh, that sinker was perfect. It was right over the plate. I mean, Springer could have crushed that ball to center field.
Right.
So those things didn't bite us in the butt this game, and those things had been biting us in the butt. And so I'm glad that we got the win. Yes, I'm kind of glad that I got the prediction. But do we want to make a prediction tonight for tomorrow's score, tomorrow's game?
Yeah, for sure. And before we get into that, I do want to talk about the Yuli Gurriel deal, because that is a big
deal. Yes, definitely.
Excellent. And I put on Twitter, I think that the Astros, just to not jinx anything, I think since they extended a player before the game today and then they get the W, I think it's only fair that they extend another player tomorrow. So let's go George Springer. I'm just saying.
Man, you going out on a limb there.
Let's just pull out all the stops. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying let's do that. But Gurriel will be with the team for next year for sure. He signed a one-year deal worth $6.5 million. That plus performance bonuses, that's pretty good for a guy like Yuli Gurriel. And then he also has a option worth $8 million for 2022. So this is this means that Yuli Gurriel most likely will be here for two more years. And James Click, here's some clickbait. He basically said that Yuli made it obvious that this was the place he wanted to be. He's very comfortable here, and we're very comfortable with him. Over the last week or so, I would say things picked up and we're able to line up on this. And Gurriel said, I never thought there would be so much chemistry between the players, the coaching staff as well. And it's just a perfect situation. All I can think about is that old Weezer song, Perfect Situation. And that's what the Astros are for a lot of these players, a.k.a. George Springer. You need to stay here. This is your perfect situation.
Yeah, he needed to take a pay cut, and he took a pay cut to stay with the Astros. If that doesn't speak volumes of what is being built here in Houston, despite what you may hear, despite the random reports from various websites that say that all major stars that can are exiting Houston in 2021, I just don't see it. I think if someone like Yuli Gurriel, who is a clubhouse favorite, is willing to take a pay cut, that shows his loyalty to the team. That also signals to the team, hey, I'm letting you have more money to be able to sign the guys that require more money. Right. And who knows, maybe this does open the door. I really like that prediction. I've kind of been on the fence of, I'm thinking Springer's on the way out just because he's like, I don't want to worry about it. I don't want to talk about it. But that would
he probably is
phenomenal to hear that. I mean, you know, but the thing is, can you imagine what they would do, what that would do to this team if they went ahead and re-signed him? And then you've got Springer, Bregman.
That would motivate Altuve, them to go to the World Series. I mean, that would give them that energy for him to come back for four more years or something, and they just get it done before tomorrow's game or at maybe after that. It's not going to happen. George Springer is going to test a free agency market. He's going to go out there and see what he can get, unless he just loves his team. I think if AJ Hinch was still here, you would definitely see him re-sign with the Astros. I think he was really, really comfortable playing for AJ Hinch. Not saying he doesn't like Dusty Baker, but I just think that he really had a good relationship with Hinch there. But I'm going to go and make my prediction, and my prediction is it's going to be a carbon copy of today's game. It's going to be I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Jose Urquidy will get the start. I had a total brain fart. I've been having issues all day, but Jose Urquidy is going to get the start. I think he's going to go five innings. And then I think you're going to see Christian Javier not do exactly what we saw Framber Valdez do, but I think he'll come in and give you three good innings. Then you'll see Andre Scrub come in and maybe Ryan Pressly to close out the game, or Blake Taylor, or whoever. It depends on the matchups right now, but I think that the Astros are going to take tomorrow's game. It's going to be one of those. I still think it's going to be something like a 5-4 game.
Really? Okay. So you're going 5-4. I'm going to say,
and that's with Pressly giving up two runs in.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I just hope that Presley's not the closer. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I'm not going to make any bones about it. I have zero confidence in him closing right now. But I think the Twins at least put a crooked number on the board. I'm going to say the Twins get three runs, and they're going to get two of those runs on two solo home runs, probably knock out the starter and bring in someone like Christian Javier, someone like that, and they're going to come in and just be dealing, okay? Now, with that being said, the Houston Astros are going to counter those three runs, and I believe they're going to score seven runs. I believe two of those runs are going to be scored in the first three innings, and those other five runs are going to be scored in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and they are going to close the deal because the Twins will take the lead midway through the game. The Astros will come back in the late innings and look like the old Astros of scoring a ton of runs in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. So I'm predicting a game, 7-3, Houston Astros. They sweep the wild card and go to play the Chicago White Sox.
All right. Well, that's some pretty big, bold moves there, but we didn't get a chance to look at what Jose Berrios has done versus the Astros. I do know that he's faced them a few times, but I remember one time they got to him. The other time, maybe he did really good against them. But he is a legit ace.
He's good.
Yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to be tough to get to. But I think the Astros are going to get some momentum from what they did today. And they did something they haven't really done. They rallied late. They rallied late to get the lead and keep the lead. So Framber Valdez, he deserves a game ball if they do that in this league. But he just pitched
his game ball. This isn't Little League, Eric. Yeah, we're all going to get a baseball after the series and sign it. Everybody's going to sign it.
Good job, Framber. All right. So, guys, that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. Hopefully we'll be talking tomorrow and celebrating going to the ALDS versus – I don't know. Who'd you say it's going to be against?
Oh, dude, it's going to be the White Sox, man. I mean, there's no way Oakland's beating the White Sox. I just don't see it. I don't see it in the cards. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure that is what the bracket is. The bracket is going to be Because the winner of the Rays series is playing the winner of the Yankees series. Yep. So we play the winner of the White Sox and Oakland A's, and I think the White Sox are gonna hit it. You're gonna have a number six versus a number seven team, which should be a really good matchup, I think.
The only thing I'm worried about is that the Astros will be playing the ALCS or the ALDS in San Diego or in Dodger Stadium. And so maybe there's going to be the ghost of the West Coast over there.
Wait, but we won the World Series in L.A. We won game seven in L.A.
I know, but how good did they play against the Dodgers this year?
Yeah, but they're not playing the Dodgers for the World
I know,
Series.
But it's just the and ghost that, of Dodgers fans. All the Dodgers fans
dude,
that
are
have
you,
died.
Are you Mike Leach? Are you Mike Leach now? Did you see that Mike Leach interview?
No. Speaking of which, why don't you go check out our friend Sully? I know that he had a lot of the teams in the playoffs join a podcast, and go check it out on the Locked On MLB podcast. And let's just talk some great baseball tomorrow. Hopefully the Astros do a good job and Dusty Baker does what he's supposed to do to get the win. You've been listening to the Locked On Astros podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.